51551 is our text number. Now, it's week three of our inflation shopping basket series, and we hear time and again, of course, that the cost of living is going up. We see it ourselves in our own pockets, and some of our common shopping basket staples are increasing in price. But what exactly is causing those everyday basics to go up in price? And Adam Maguire, RT business journalist, is back with the basket.
Yes,
the basket is looking a little fuller today.
Yeah, we did say all along that we might add something in, and we have. We've thrown in clothing, represented here by a pair of stonewashed denim, which apparently is back.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah,
and better if they're ripped, actually, as well.
Yeah, we might have to get the scissors to them or something. They're not maybe an everyday grocery item, but a lot of big supermarkets do sell clothes, so you might end up with them in your weekly shop. And they're certainly a fairly normal consumer item. More importantly for us, they're also one of the areas seeing big increases in recent weeks in price. According to the CSO, the price of clothing went up by 4.2% between March and April. So just 1 month. So next week, we'll take a look at why that's happened.
OK, but today you have decided that you're going to look at coffee and biscuits.
Yeah, a nice little combination. So we have our little box of biscuits here.
Yeah.
And we
what
have
kind
our,
of biscuits
our coffee
have
beans.
Got?
We've got some chocolate chip. We've got a mixture in there of chocolate chip biscuits. We've got some coffee beans as well. So a nice combo, nothing better than sitting down, cup of coffee, nice biscuit as a little treat. If you're a tea drinker, don't worry, because what we're talking about with coffee kind of impacts tea too. So the price is affected there as well.
We're going to start with the biscuits.
Yeah, biscuits, a really, really interesting one, because you think of them as a fairly basic product. They're actually a really good representation though, of how incredibly complex the global supply chain is, something that we'd all take for granted and maybe have up until recently. So to show you what I mean, I said we have chocolate chip cookies in here, or biscuits. Even with recent price rises, you'd probably buy a pack of them for about €1, a cheap packet for about €1. But if you were to make them yourself, you're looking at maybe 7 or 8 ingredients. So again, seems fairly simple. But when you break it down, it's actually incredibly complex. So you have flour, obviously. In Ireland, most of our flour comes from the UK. But a lot of that, in turn, is coming from Canada or the Ukraine. Then you have sugar, which is probably coming from Brazil or India, but it might be getting refined in Romania or Portugal. Eggs and butter, that could be something that you're coming, it's coming from an Irish producer. But if you're a big manufacturer, if you're a big bakery, you might be sourcing it from the Netherlands or from Poland or Turkey or even New Zealand, which is a major exporter of butter. The chocolate may be coming from Belgium or Germany, but the cocoa beans to make that chocolate is coming from the Ivory Coast or Ghana. The vanilla and the vanilla extract is coming from Madagascar or Indonesia. The salt might be coming from China. The bicarbonate of soda might be coming from China, the US. So all these ingredients coming from all around the world through, you know, UK or EU-based companies. And what's amazing about it is that usually they end up on our shelves, they're readily available, quite cheap, and they allow you to make your own biscuits or buy them for very little amounts of money.
Well, that's an astonishing feat in itself that would be the case, you know, given that they come from all of those different places.
Yeah.
So now that we have Brexit, a war in Europe, we're post-pandemic, just about. What's gone wrong?
Yeah, well, a lot. The supply chain has taken a couple of knocks, and you've mentioned some of the reasons behind it. So Brexit is the first one, especially in Ireland. Because if you think about the big biscuit brands on supermarket shelves and confectionery in general, the chances are, with a couple of exceptions, they're British-based. And even some of the big European brands would probably have supplied the Irish market with bars and biscuits that were made in UK factories. And when you look at, say, the retailers' own brand stuff, which there'd be a lot of that on shelves as well, a lot of that was made under contract by British producers. And before Brexit, that was fine, because it just came over the Irish Sea, no checks, no issue whatsoever. But once the UK left the EU, it became far more complicated than that.
So how are those products treated now?
Yeah, well, without wanting to drill down too far into the nitty-gritty of it all, under the Brexit deal, as people might remember, that came into force at the start of last year, if you've a British-made product and you export it to the EU, you don't pay a tariff. So that's fine. Same goes in the other direction as well. But if you are, say, a UK company and you import something from a third country and then export it to the EU, you pay a tariff on that. So these are what's called rules of origin. So it defines, depending on where it starts and where it ends, you might have to pay a tariff. But then there's a middle ground, and this is where we start to get a bit messy. So if you import a product from a third country, say like flour, and then you do something with it to change it, so maybe mix it with lots of other ingredients to make a brand new product, you might be able to get away with avoiding the tariff. You might be able to say it is now a British or European product. But it's not straightforward at all. You basically have to get into the weeds on the rules and regulations around weight restrictions, value limits on how much you're coming from a third country, how much production was done to actually justify it being a new product rather than just the same old product. And you really have to know your way around the fine print of the EU-UK trade and cooperation agreement to know exactly how that applies. I mean, I was talking to one tax expert who said they think there would be a 9% tariff applied if you couldn't show that you met all these rules and regulations, but they couldn't be sure because it's just so
complex.
And this is an expert. It's just so complex. And the problem is, even if you can bypass that tariff, you have to show then that why that's the case. So you need all this paperwork, which then has to be checked, which means you're slowing down the supply chain, you're adding complexity. So even if nothing else changes, it becomes that little bit harder, a little bit more expensive to bring a biscuit or the ingredients of a biscuit from the UK over to Ireland.
So now we can see why our biscuits are becoming more expensive because of Brexit. And just on Brexit, just from Tony Connolly, our Europe correspondent, he's reporting that Liz Truss, the British Foreign Secretary, told a right-wing American think tank back in August of 2019 that the only people in Ireland concerned with a no-deal Brexit were, listen to this, farmers with a few turnips in the back of their truck. Now, this was heard by a former British diplomat. This is the claim. This former ambassador to Georgia, Alexandra Hall-Hall, that's her name. She was Boris Johnson's Brexit advisor in Washington. She said she was there when Liz Truss said this at the Heritage Foundation in Washington on the 8th of August 2019. The only people in Ireland concerned with a no-deal Brexit were farmers with a few turnips in the back of their truck. We haven't moved far beyond that position, and we see, Adam, the problems that it's causing. So if it's problematic for us to get our biscuits from Great Britain, we could start making them ourselves and there'd be a little boom in biscuit making here, you would think.
You would think, yeah. And some Irish companies have benefited, but not as much as you might hope, because as I mentioned, before Brexit, Ireland would have gotten the vast majority of its flour from Britain. So if that is British flour, that's fine, no tariff applies. But under those rules of origin, if some of the flour, more than 15%, is coming from outside of Britain, a tariff applies. And it essentially does. So Canadian, Ukrainian wheat is needed, especially bread makers. They need higher protein. You need to use some Canadian flour. So it means then the tariffs do apply on UK flour coming into Ireland. And even though some have tried to get flour elsewhere, they've gone to mainland Europe, but that's a bit more expensive because it's a further distance and you're dealing with other companies. According to Bord Bia, though, 78% of the flour that comes into bakeries in Ireland is still coming from the UK. So tariffs are applying in a lot of cases there.
So that's why the prices are going up.
Yeah, and it applies to everything, every kind of baked goods. So biscuits, you know, cakes, sliced pan, everything that has flour in it, the price is probably going up because of Brexit. I should say, though, just like everything in this series, it's not just the one thing that's pushing up the price of biscuits and other baked goods. One firm I spoke to that supplies ingredients for bakeries said that the price of eggs, for example, has gone up 2.5 times in just a matter of months. A biscuit producer told me the price of butter has gone up has doubled essentially in recent months. And of course, then we have energy prices, which means production, transport, all those things gets more expensive and that gets passed on.
So when you look at biscuits then, how much have they gone up by?
This is a hard one to pin down for a number of reasons. So obviously Brexit kind of kicked in the middle of the pandemic at a time when people's shopping habits were upended. And that meant that companies and retailers maybe tried to absorb some of the costs rather than passing it all on to consumers. One biscuit maker I spoke to here said they were passing on price rises of 10 to 12%. But that's only happening recently. But basically, they'd absorbed everything from Brexit and they could deal with that. But then with Ukraine and everything else going on, they just had to pass that on. Unfortunately, the CSO doesn't do us the favour of breaking down biscuits in the consumer price index. But if we use bread as a proxy, because that's it may be showing us what's happening with flour. If you compare December 2020, just before Britain actually left the EU, and June 2021, which is before things like energy price increases really started to ratchet up, we see that the price of a large white sliced pan rose by 5.4%, about 7 cents, which is a big jump for just 6 months. A brown sliced pan up by 7.5% in the same period. And it's only going to get worse as well because of the issue in Ukraine. A major supplier of wheat, we also spoke before about shortages coming out of Canada. That biscuit producer I spoke to said that they're expecting they're going to have to raise prices again in the not too distant future.
Okay, and I was buying biscuits last night because we have to make something for a school bake sale and I'm going to make a chocolate biscuit cake because it's easy.
I was going to ask you, you're just going to pass off the biscuits as your own?
No, I'm going to break them up and mix them with chocolate, okay, and put it in the fridge. But I thought the biscuits were still okay. Like, I didn't think they were outrageously expensive. Now, I was buying rich tea and digestives.
Yeah, and maybe the price hasn't gone up, but what you might be missing, and people don't tend to pay attention to this, normal people anyway, is that you're not buying what you used to buy. That's because a lot of firms will use what's called shrinkflation to kind of, covertly sneak in a price rise. Essentially what they're doing, they're giving you less, but they're charging you the same. So maybe there's one biscuit less in the pack, or the biscuits are slightly smaller. So per gram, you're paying less, even though the price of the till seems the same.
Now, listen, on that, on the chocolate I had to buy for the chocolate biscuit cake, I noticed that the bars, you know, of the dark chocolate and the milk chocolate, they were much smaller.
Yeah, and that's something you can see. A lot of, standard chocolate bars, they shrunk some by 20, 30% in the last few years.
So not getting away with that. We can see that.
You can see it. Yeah. And even sometimes the wrapper, there's a load of space in the packet and everything. So when people say, back in their day, these things were better, they're actually right about chocolate bars. They used to be a lot bigger and a lot cheaper as well.
And a packet of crisps as well. And, particularly in the multi-packs. When
that's
you take
true.
Them out, they're absolutely tiny. What else then has had an impact on the supply chain? So we've covered off Brexit.
Yeah, so the pandemic is the other really, really big one. Because in the early stages of the pandemic, people will probably remember pretty much everything shut down, bar the most important factories in the world, and ports around the world shut as well. So you ended up with this massive cargo ship backlog in ports around the world. These ships full of containers with nowhere to go, shipping containers building up on ports with nothing to do with them. And it takes a long time to unwind all of that. You can't just open the ports and everything starts flowing again. We also had, as people might remember, the Suez Canal blockage, which seemed like a bit of a joke at the time, but it actually had a huge impact on the supply chain around the world. And we've had rolling shutdowns of ports in China more recently because of tight COVID lockdowns there. So again, the ports are being shut down, putting a brake on a massive supply chain around the world, and it's affecting everybody.
Okay, will we move on to our coffee there? You have the lovely coffee beans.
Yeah, we have our coffee beans here. Yeah. So a really good example maybe of this, supply chain and the global supply chain, because, there's no local sourcing possible when it comes to coffee. You have to go to very far away places like Brazil, Vietnam, Colombia, India and so on. So you have to pay the shipping costs to get coffee, whatever that might be. To get an idea then of how much you're talking in terms of the increase, I spoke to Rob Horgan, who's the owner of Cork-based Velo Coffee Roasters. They source beans from all over the place, including India, which is actually trying to develop a name as being a kind of premium quality coffee producer. He said shipping costs have gone up from the likes of India, but they also source their packaging from China. And he said those shipments in particular have exploded.
18 months ago, we switched to fully recyclable packaging, and that still all comes from China. Unfortunately, there's no producer in Europe can put a valve into a coffee bag, and you would have comfortably shipped a container from China at $3,000 2.5 years ago, and now you're getting quotes of $15,000 and $17,000, hugely inflated. Out of a lot of the coffee origins, thankfully, it's not as bad as that, but it's still up there and inflated. We would have had products leave China and be here in 5 weeks. That now can be up to 5 months. So we've a lot more money tied up in packaging, and it's taking a lot longer to get it here. Pre-pandemic, people would have given you a 2 week, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks lead time, and it was firm. Now they just can't tell because of their own supply chain issues. If they don't have it in stock, they can't give you a guaranteed arrival time.
So a huge jump in shipping costs in a short amount of time, and it's happening across the board. The IMF says there's been a sevenfold increase in the cost of shipping a container across oceans in the 18 months since March 2020. It's not just shipping costs. Energy, obviously a big impact because you have to roast the beans, transport them. But the price of coffee as well is going up. Rob from Velo there pointed me towards the US Coffee C Futures, which is a commodity market that prices premium coffee, and it's used as a benchmark if you're buying bulk coffee. This is how you get your price. It's gone up 50% in the past year, more than double since in the last 2 years, in part because of weather warnings coming out of Brazil. And it's not just the little guys feeling this. Starbucks upped its prices in October, again in January, and they said more price hikes are coming. So everybody in the coffee business is feeling this because of supply chain costs and other things. And at the till, you're seeing it as well. Coffee prices jumping almost 3% between March and April, so just 1 month, and they're about 4% higher year on year. So they're above the general rise in grocery price increases and probably going to keep going up as well.
And it follows on that a lot of the problems we've been talking about, they're going to affect other products that we buy all of the time as well.
Absolutely. I mean, anything coming out of China, essentially, which when you think about it, there's a lot, you know, children's toys, electronics, certain items of clothing, an awful lot of plastic-based goods. They're costing a lot more to ship and they're taking a lot more time to get here as well. And I think one of the things coming out of the pandemic was it showed just how reliant we are on China and other faraway countries for very essential products or very important products. And maybe a silver lining is that a lot of companies are now trying to source more locally or even start manufacturing themselves closer to home, because it might have once been cheaper to get it from China and ship it halfway around the world. But because of shipping costs, it now makes more sense to pay people more to do it locally. And then you have a certainty of it's right there. I'm going to get it when I need it. And there's no issue with, you know, a backlog or anything like that.
OK, well, you still have some items left in that shopping basket and you'll be back with us next week, won't
That's
you? You
right,
have the
yeah.
loo roll and the clothes.
Loo roll
the
and clothing.
Is the car still in
the
there
car's
somewhere?
Still in there as well. Still
didn't
down
change
the bottom.
This
yeah,
week,
yeah.
Did it?
Now we've two cars now, so we've, yeah,
yeah,
we're a two-car home, so we've upgraded.
Adam, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week. Coming up after the break, does climate change mean we should all fly less and pay more when we do take to the skies? We'll debate.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.